morning. It's a new day in 1180 WFYL. You can call in at 610-539-TALK, 610-539-8255, or toll-free 1-877-667-1180. We got Jade Helm now in the headlines. What's Jade Helm? That's a military exercise that's going to be taking place in the West, labeling certain states as hostile and others as slightly hostile or permissive. Supposed to be training special operations forces, but that has caused quite a controversy. We're going to go ahead and get into that. We've got at least 12 injured in Oklahoma City as tornadoes sweep through the plains. We'll bring you some information on that. Are religious colleges at risk if the Supreme Court approves same-sex marriage? Imagine that. Didn't see that one coming. We're going to get into that in the program as well. And the designer of 3D printed gun challenges feds to constitutional duel. Now, I don't know if you've seen this guy. His name is Cody Wilson. And he is quite the renegade. He started the whole 3D gun printing craze that has kind of gone out of the news media now for a little bit. Now it's kind of flying back in the face of it. Cody Wilson is challenging. He's challenging the feds to a constitutional duel. An article from FoxNews.com reads, Cody Wilson had a vision to forward the digital revolution by creating the nation's first firearm on a 3D printer. And, taking a page from WikiLeaks, share the blueprints with the world via the internet in what he called the Wiki Weapons Project. Now he is suing the federal government in hopes of keeping his dream on target and staying out of prison. Wilson was so taken with the idea he dropped out of law school and designed, quote, the Liberator, the nation's first pistol built exclusively on a 3D printer, consisting of 12 separate parts made from plastic and a single metal firing pin. The technology will break gun control. I stand for freedom. That's from Cody Wilson himself, as I'm looking at a picture of him firing, or not firing, holding the Liberator. And it's not a very impressive-looking firearm. It just looks like a hunk of plastic that kind of has a little tube on it. But, I mean, that's all you need. I know they called zip guns. In prison, My grandfather actually showed my father one time how to make a zip gun, and that's relatively simple. A zip gun is just a makeshift firearm. It's basically just a metal tube with a bullet, and then you take like a rubber band or something like that, and you put a nail at one end, and basically you just pull the nail back and let it hit the back of the bullet, and you know, have like a little wooden handle or something. Really simple, just really crude. But that is a zip gun. So it's kind of like the modern-day zip gun, if you will. I don't remember zip guns being outlawed. Well, you know what, though? Maybe they're not, because they're not regulated. Technically, you can't have one. But no one's getting all up in arms about a zip gun. It's all about this 3D printing. Now, I have to say, it's very easy in an age where everything is so easy for us. You know, that's the thing people are going to gravitate to most. And I have to admit, Cody Wilson doesn't necessarily do good for the 3D printing world. He kind of adds this aura of darkness. He always looks serious. He always looks like he's angry. I'm looking at a picture right now, and he's kind of like just looking at the camera. He's not smiling or anything. It's like, whoa, what's going on with you, sir? Well, within 2 days of publishing the blueprints on the internet, this is in the article now, on May 5th, 2013, 100,000 people around the world had downloaded them. The goal, Wilson said, was to invalidate the government's unconstitutional, that's a quote, hold on gun technology. The technology will break gun control. I think it's interesting he was a law student and dropped out of law school. You know, if you think about what law school is, you're studying the law. People think, oh, you're just a lawyer, you're going to argue for different cases. But, you know, in law school, you actually study the law. So they're supposed to know more about it than the average Joe. So I find that's very interesting that Mr. Wilson dropped out of law school, apparently because he felt that this was a very important cause. It stirred quite some controversy, though, as you can imagine. But Wilson formed the nonprofit organization Defense Distributed with his partner, Ben DeNeo, I think I'm saying that right, in Little Rock, Arkansas, in the summer of 2012. Quote, "I stand for freedom." So, if we go ahead and look down a little bit more, Wilson was ordered to remove the blueprints for the Liberator from his website. And I remember when I was in, that was a couple years ago. I remember in college, I was actually looking at that. I was like, what in the world? What in the, who's it? We're printing guns. We're printing 3D guns. And I remember I actually went to his website, and the blueprints were indeed taken down. And there was a memo essentially left saying that it was a government order and that they were going to do everything they could to basically combat it. But the government also told him they were claiming ownership of his intellectual property. Wasn't that just nice? Defense Distributed, and you want to talk about government overreach, his intellectual property. Well, now, there's one thing if you say that he can't, there's one thing if maybe it's not registered, you call on him to remove blueprints. See, the government doesn't know what to do with this right now. They have no idea what to do with it. So they're reacting in the only way that government knows how to react, and that's to control it. Control it, control it, control it. Instead of actually having some kind of debate on it, instead of actually passing some kind of legislation on it, and even if they do, we know that legislation is always going to put the government more in control. I mean, after all, that's kind of what the government is. If you think at its core, it's the government's really control. The reason we have a government is so that we're protected, that laws are enforced. It's about control. And that's not necessarily a bad thing to a certain point. But after a certain point, it certainly becomes a bad thing. And that's the struggle. Welcome to the struggle. You could, and thanks for listening to the program, by the way. Welcome if you just tuned in. Michael Evans here. It's a new day on 1180 WFYL. You can call in at 610-539-8255, 610-539-TALK, and let your voice be heard this morning. Defense Distributed, quote, is being penalized for trying to educate the public about 3D guns. That was Alan Gottlieb, founder of the Washington-based Second Amendment Foundation, whose organization is backing Defense Distributed in a court action. Gottlieb said his Second Amendment group, made up of 650,000 members nationwide, wants to publish the information about three-dimensional printing of firearms on its website as educational material for its members, supporters, and general public. On Wednesday, the Second Amendment Foundation filed a federal lawsuit on in Texas, where Defense Distributed is now based, alleging the State Department, Secretary of State John Kerry, and four other State Department officials and the Directorate of Defense Trade Controls, well, that sounds important, are among the defendants who violated Wilson's First Amendment rights by restraining him from publishing information about three-dimensional printing of arms, as well as his Second and Fifth Amendment rights. Now, I will say as well that people don't have to play by the rules, and my generation certainly knows that, because the internet that we use, see, that's just one part of the internet. There is another section of the internet, and it's made headlines. So it's made headlines sometimes. And you get there sometimes, and the most popular thing that's been in the headlines has been Torrent. But there is an internet that is essentially underground. So it's not like if he really wanted to distribute the information, it's not like they could necessarily put an absolute halt to it. So, well, my point with that is that he's restraining himself. And he's doing that because, I mean, he went to law school. He's going to make a legal fight out of it. But we should take that into consideration, that perhaps maybe he's not just some crazy gun nut who just wants everyone to have, you know, firearms so that they could shoot each other. Let's stray away from that, shall we, in the discussion today. But Josh Blackman, an attorney in Texas, who is one of the attorneys representing Wilson, said 3D printers may lead to a, quote, renaissance of innovation. Now, that is correct. Imagine having a 3D printer in your home, not necessarily just for firearms, You could print anything you want, depending on what material it uses, depending on the strength of plastics. Any material you want, you could make right in your home. How futuristic is that? The government should tread carefully in restricting this technology to protect intellectual property, and that is absolutely right. We're facing a situation where anyone, a felon, a terrorist, can open a gun factory in their garage, and the weapons they make will be undetectable. It's stomach-churning. That was Chuck Schumer, a Democrat from New York, who's proposed legislation that would ban 3D guns. And I'm sure they would like to ban firearms in general, too, because, well, when you're operating out of fear, nothing's safe. Welcome to the program. We're going to be back. Got to hit a break in just a minute. It's a new day with Mike Levins. Thanks for listening.
Hi, friends. This is Janet Parshall, and you're listening to 1180 AM WFYL, working for your liberty and things that matter, right here in the Cradle of Liberty area, Valley Forge, and Philadelphia.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
World War II ended in Europe on this day, May 7th, 1945, when German emissaries entered a schoolhouse in Reims, France, where General Dwight Eisenhower had his headquarters, and signed an unconditional surrender. The war in Europe had lasted 5.5 years and cost tens of millions of lives. After the war, Eisenhower was elected the 34th president by the largest number of votes in history. He stated, "Without God, there could be no American form of government or way of life. Recognition of the Supreme Being is the most basic expression of Americanism."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
In 1778, George Washington said in Valley Forge, "If having pleased the Almighty Ruler of the Universe to defend the cause of the United States, and finally to raise up a powerful friend among the princes of the earth, to establish our liberty and dependence upon a lasting foundation, it becomes us to set apart a day of gratefully acknowledging the divine goodness and celebrating the important event which we owe to his divine interposition. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land." 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.
Hey, what's going on? Welcome back to the program. Call 610-539-8255, 610-539-TALK. Let your voice be heard this morning. Yeah, let your voice. We got to get some people coming in here. We got to get some people calling in here. Go ahead, call in or toll free, 1-877-667-1180, 1-877-667-1180. Mike Levins here. It's a new day, 1180 WFYL. Thank you so much for listening, by the way. And, that does it. The military exercise causing a political firestorm in Texas. Yeah, the military is doing an exercise in your very own states, good old West. I'm going to talk about that. How many of these military exercises occur here in our good old shores, in our good old sea from Shining Sea? Well, why don't we go ahead and answer that question right now? Let's see here. We'll go ahead and get that information when we go ahead and pull that up. But we've got one. Jade Helm 15. A military exercise causing political torrents. Even Chuck Norris is involved. He's keeping his eyes of a ranger, that's a quote from him, on the situation. Chuck Norris is not happy, and you know what happens when you make Chuck Norris angry. You don't want to know what happens when you make Chuck Norris angry. He'll karate chop you. Well, let's read on. This is another article from FoxNews.com. A massive military exercise planned in states across the American West has touched off a political firestorm, with several top Texas officials now questioning the military's plans, if only to calm the internet and constituent furor surrounding it. You want to talk about the divide between the people and the state. The fact that there is concern regarding this massive exercise can simply show that people have lost some trust in their government. Can we say that? Well, if we look at this handy little map that they have left for us for the exercise itself, let's see. And this is from Salt Lake City, Utah, Fox13now.com. You can look at the map on their website. The article's titled Planned Military Training, quote, Jade Helm 15 Ignites Firestorm in Utah. And they have states in this map, California, Nevada, Arizona, Utah, Colorado, New Mexico, and Texas. And they are labeled. And this is where the controversy comes. States are labeled blue, meaning they are permissive, and then other states are labeled red, meaning they are hostile, and then Arizona and New Mexico are labeled kind of like an in-between. They don't know where they're at. But get this, and this is where the controversy comes from. California, Nevada, and Colorado are labeled blue, permissive. Utah and Texas are labeled red as hostile. New Mexico is labeled brown as uncertain, leaning hostile. And then Arizona is labeled light blue, uncertain, leaning friendly. Well, if I read from the article at Fox 13, is Utah hostile territory? That's the first line in the article. You see where people are going with this. A military exercise that's breeding wild conspiracy theories is coming to our state. Fox 13 spoke to the Utah National Guard about the rumors some are calling unconstitutional. Two words, Jade Helm, are causing panic across seven states, including Utah. This is from Salt Lake City, Fox News affiliate 13. Jade Helm 15 is a two-month special operations training exercise happening in a handful of Southwest states from July 15th to September 15th. The military said it is a big training exercise it wants people to know about so residents aren't worried if they see special ops troops and helicopters in certain areas. I don't think there's ever been anything like this before, at least at this magnitude. However, a few far-right media sites online say they see it as unconstitutional at best. The website Infowars.com has multiple reports on Jade Helm 15, including a map for the exercise which shows Utah in bright red labeled hostile territory. Critics of the exercise say U.S. Special Operations troops are training in America in order to intervene in domestic affairs. The controversy has been most intense in Texas, so far where military units will practice, quote, blending in the state's cities and towns. Fox 13 contacted the Special Ops Command to find out what will happen here in Utah. Officials told us the only activity here will happen on private land. Why is Utah included in Jade Helm? That was a question Fox 13 posed to Special Ops Command. Utah is included in the exercise in order to replicate potential terrain that our soldiers may find themselves operating in overseas. Next question. What is the context for Utah's hostile label on the map that has been publicly distributed? Special Ops Command, the hostile label was part of the exercise design. It is fictional and is not intended to represent any belief that the state of Utah is hostile. Where will Jade Helm operations be happening in Utah. Small portion of the training exercise will take place on pre-coordinated private property volunteered by the landowners in Carbon and Emery counties. Those are counties in Utah, by the way, and if you didn't catch that. Fox 13 also asked the Utah National Guard about Jade Helm 15, quote, "This is simply an opportunity for them to train in a battlefield environment that emulates something overseas, and we cannot recreate this on the small space of a training facility like Camp Williams or Dugway." That was Utah National Guard Lieutenant Colonel Stephen Fairborn. It said troops in exercises in other states will be training to act like special agents and sneak into foreign countries. They said residents in Carbon and Emery counties could see helicopters and ground vehicles sometime between July and September. Planners, observers, and commanders will likely book quite a few local hotel rooms, so don't be alarmed if you see some particularly fit and serious-looking terrorists during that, or tourists, I'm sorry, no, and serious-looking tourists, not terrorists, tourists, that's what I meant to say, during that time. Though the military is putting the Indian, the big elephant in the room, quite literally, is that the hostile states usually lean Republican, and the permissive states usually lean Democrat. That is the elephant in the room. Now, that could purely be based, and you know what? Our men and women in uniform, they follow orders. And if I go actually to a Fox News, and this is a national website reading on it, writing on a conservative website, WorldNet Daily, this is Chuck Norris. He said, quote, "Concerned Texans and Americans are in no way calling into question our brave and courageous men and women in uniform. They are merely following orders. What's under question are those who are pulling the strings at the top of Jade Helm 15 back in Washington. The U.S. government says it's just a training exercise. But I'm not sure the term, quote, just, has any reference to reality when the government uses it." Isn't that true? Call in 610-539-8255, 610-539-TALK, or 1-877-667-1180. That's 1-877-667-1180. We're going to head to a break, but we will be back after this, and we've got the next program up for you today, Accelerating Your Business with Michelle Faustin. So stick around for that. You don't want to miss that. New Day will be back after the program, and we will continue looking at the headlines and your scripture of the day. I haven't forgotten about that. We'll go ahead and do that as we delve more into the news and all the different events happening today. We'll be back.
This is Sam Rohr of the American Pastors Network, and I want to invite you to listen to our new daily live call-in program, Stand in the Gap Today, each Monday through Friday at noon, right here on WFYL. There's never a shortage of topics surrounding how our faith and freedom are being attacked on every front. This program will equip Christians to stand up for truth and to impact our culture for Christ rather than just being an idle bystander. Join this battle for truth and listen to Stand in the Gap Today every Monday through Friday at noon, right here on WFYL.
Hi, good morning, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to W1180 WFYL. This is Accelerating Your Business, a weekly call-in business radio show where business owners, aspiring business owners, and those who are managers and executives at companies or organizations can call in and ask whatever business question they like. It is hosted by me, Michelle Faustin, President and CEO of MJF Strategy. Call-in number today is 610-539-8255, which is 610-539-TALK, or 877-667-1180. You can also email me at askmichelle@1180wfyl.com. That's askmichelle at 1180wfyl.com. And that is MJF Strategy, www.mjfstrategy.com. This particular program, for those who are tuning in for the first time, is just every Thursday morning from 7:34 to 8 a.m. We provide this as a platform, and a unique one, at least to our knowledge, to provide, you know, our listeners and business community with a platform and a soundboard to be able to ask whatever question that you like. Every week, I decide to go ahead and propose a topic that I believe is relevant to our listeners, and people can call in any time. You can ask whatever business question you like. It doesn't matter if your company is large or small, if you have not started it yet, or if you've been in business for an extended period of time. But the purpose is also to give you great feedback as well as provide the topics, the things that would be helpful to you. Over the years, I've worked with many companies. I've been very fortunate to do so, anything from startup, you know, or zero, inception, all the way up to Fortune 100. And so, and in a lot of different industries as well. It's about 25 at this point. So, you know, being able to have and share this knowledge is something that is definitely something that's a passion on my heart, and something, at least for the time that we've had this show and for the many other business owners and the feedback we've received, at least verbal feedback, has been very helpful to them as well. So we definitely encourage you, I definitely encourage you as well, to call in during this time frame and be able to take advantage of this resource that is at no cost to you, and again, provides a sounding board that maybe you may not get in your everyday. A lot of times when you're a leader or you're a business owner, it can be a very wonderful experience, but also a very isolating one, in the sense that you don't always have people to kind of bounce questions off of, ideas off of, or really, you know, go through someone who's impartial in terms of getting the kind of advice that you need, whether that is just managing your business, current business, optimally and efficiently and profitably, of course, but especially when it comes to taking the business to the next level. Accelerating your business, the name is about doing just that. And it's really for those business owners and, like I said, executives and managers who want to do that and is focused on continuously doing that in order to achieve success, not just in the current, but in the short and long term as well. So over the last few weeks, we've been going over a topic talking about knowing your numbers. Knowing your numbers is something that is very, very important as a business owner, or again, an aspiring one, because it's very critical in terms of what you will need not only to be successful in managing and running your own business, but also if you're ever in a position where you need to get some kind of outside capital or outside investment, whether that's from a bank via a loan or others via a loan or some type of venture capital or angel investor. You know, you want to make sure that you have these critical numbers, you know, set, and also for your own self, you know, you want to make sure that you have it. So again, you can not just achieve the growth that you desire, but also do so in an optimal way. One other thing I just want to mention that I didn't briefly mention before, as I'm talking, when callers call in, I gladly interrupt whatever the topic is, because again, the main purpose of the show is to be able to answer business callers' questions. So any of you listening, if you don't feel intimidated or feel like you need a pause in order to call in, I definitely do that, because again, the whole purpose is to be able to serve you and to serve you best. However, in the meantime, I go through these topics that are critical. So again, we went over in the past understanding revenue, breaking it down by price times quantity in terms of understanding what kind of leader you want to be in the marketplace, the high cost, low cost, or middle of the road, et cetera, quantity, about how to achieve it, as well as how to manage it, key metrics, understanding a break-even point, different types of marketing in terms of understanding your customer acquisition costs, as well as understanding how long the lifetime value of a customer, so meaning after you acquire that customer, what is the value that they provide to your top and bottom line. And then we went into other areas in terms of quantifying those amounts, breaking it down between social media and traditional media, as well as your time and your employees' time to try to quantify that cost. Today, what we're going to talk about a little bit is emotional intelligence, EQ. That is a term that some of you might have heard before and some of you may not have heard. It's something that I would say over the past maybe decade or so, it's something that has been gaining traction in terms of what businesses are looking at and for, as well as leadership traits. And a lot of the top business schools and definitely executive education programs that focus primarily on leadership, this is one of the key and critical topics. So for some, it may seem like a little bit, let's say, a soft topic, right? Because it's not necessarily hard numbers or analytical numbers that you can always put to it. But it's something that's increasingly important over the years, because to be an effective leader, you have to have IQ, which most people know, your intellectual quotient, and then EQ, your emotional quotient. And really being able to have both, a combination of both, is something that really is one of the indicators of success. And we're not just talking about leaders in terms of business owners, but in terms of your staff and the people that you want to hire as well. Everyone brings to the table something different, and some people have different traits. But being able to identify and understand these things is something that is extremely critical to your success. And again, extremely critical to business, because as a leader especially, you have to deal with many different types of people with many different agendas, many different backgrounds, you know, many different perceptions, and all the other things that we typically interact with just in terms of human nature. But from a business perspective, you have to be acutely aware of not just what's occurring, but you also have to be acutely aware in terms of, okay, so what do I do with this now? So sometimes that might be a matter of, okay, well, you know what? I think X person or X organization will be a better partner for my organization, not just because of what they bring to the table, but they bring to the table a level of, let's just say, emotional compatibility, as well as a high quotient, meaning that we can work together very well and get along together very well because we know that our intentions are the same and we both want to work towards the betterment of success and the betterment of our organizations. It's not, you know, let's say when people put a smile on their face and they have a different agenda behind them or they say certain things and it kind of seeps through. I mean, anyone can pick up on that. But then it's a matter of, okay, well, you know what? Let's focus on what's the best way to optimize success in that way. When it comes to hiring an employee, you want to think about the same things. I mean, yes, you're looking at values, you're looking at background, you're looking at aptitude and ability, but you also want to take into place, okay, how did this person's EQ or emotional quotient, you know, match up with the type of role that they're actually, that I want to bring them in for, or the type of organization we have? So, for example, you know, to be an effective salesperson, you have to understand what people's needs are. You have to be able to target them. You have to be able to, you know, kind of mesh, let's just say, sometimes their personality. You have to kind of make them feel one, because you want to be in a situation where you're building relationships with clients and potential clients, as well as allowing them to succeed. So, but at the same time, you want salespeople to be very driven. They have to have that quality where they're aggressive in the sense of, you know, it's not an easy thing to do business development and go out there and get sales. But at the same time, you know, they have to know how to use that in a way that's going to be for the betterment of the organization, as well as the betterment of their lifestyle and brand, and of course, the betterment of the customer. So if someone has, let's say, an emotional quotient where they kind of handle certain things in terms of rejection or in terms of personalities or in terms of things like that, well, you might think, well, you know, is this really the right person for this particular role? Maybe they have a better role, or is this person the right person for our organization if, let's say, your organization has a particular one? In terms of being a leader, back to that, because that's really where it's most critical. Again, it's almost like a balancing act that you have to do. And most of the time, most people do it rather very well on a regular basis, or they don't do it very well. You always hear a lot of times about, you know, certain organizations, and they have a CEO who has one type of, you know, level of emotional quotient and EQ and another level of their personality. And then they'll hire a president or a COO or some other executive that has a completely opposite traits that they bring to the table. You know, some may seem very open and you know, inviting. Others might seem very, let's just say, aggressive in terms of what they do. So, you know, it's really sometimes also understanding not just where you are in terms of this, but the balance. When I actually took a course at Wharton Executive Education, one of the things that, in one of their courses, because EQ is something that's given in almost all of the packages now, at least in the last few years, when you take tests, because you can actually test for your EQ the same way you do for IQ, but it's a different kind of test, and part of the test you go through is actually they give you people's faces to look at, they, you know, go through different scenarios, and part of it is really just identifying what that is and then also trying to glean some information to identify it for yourself, because oftentimes people may or may not understand how they may come across in certain situations, and that's important to understand. But then it's also very important to understand and diagnose where someone else is coming from. Because, again, you know, like anything else in life as well as business, to the extent that you can understand both is helpful to you in terms of growing your business as well. Because when you can meet someone at their practical need in terms of what you're offering in terms of your products and your services, as well as meet someone in terms of their emotional need, and again, that step one is identification, then you're able to really not just provide them with what they want as you execute, but also help go through. So that is the topic we're going to be talking about today. Again, it's Accelerating Your Business. Call-in number is 610-539-8255 or 610-539-TALK, 877-667-1180, or email at askmichelle1180@wfyl.com. We're going to take a short break, and we're going to come back continuing with this topic.
Do for your business? You're about to find out for free. YP will give your business a free listing on two extremely powerful customer delivering tools, YP.com and the YP app. Growing your business requires maximum visibility, and every month over 70 million potential new customers search for businesses on YP.com and the YP app. 70 million. But if you're not there, they can't find you. Get the maximum visibility that comes from a free listing with America's largest marketing agency for small business, YP. Look, you're the expert in your business, and YP is the expert in driving new customers to your business. Imagine what that free listing on YP could do for your bottom line. Claim your free business listing today. Potential customers are searching for businesses like yours each and every day. Don't let your competitors get them because you're not listed. Go to myfreeyp.com. That's myfreeyp.com. Myfreeyp.com.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Accelerating Your Business. This is the weekly business call-in radio show that you can call every Thursday morning from 7:34 a.m. to 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on 1180 WFYL. Again, this is a call-in radio show where you can call in and ask whatever business question you like, whether you're an aspiring business owner, you are a manager or executive in your organization, or you are a business leader currently, and whether that is a small or a large organization. Those who are interested can call in at 610-539-8255. That's 610-539-TALK or 877-667-1180. You can also email me at askmichelle@1180wfyl.com. That's askmichelle at 1180wfyl.com. And my name is Michelle Faustin, host of Accelerating Your Business and president and CEO of MJS Strategy. That is a growth strategy and business expansion consulting firm. In essence, just helping companies to grow and get to the next level. So what we talked about before is that I will continue on this topic until callers call in. And when they do call in, I will gladly interrupt. But we're going to continue with the emotional intelligence topic this week. Like I said, a little bit of a deviation from the Knowing Your Number segment that we've done the last few weeks. So in the first half, for those of you who are just tuning in, we just went over, you know, the fact that EQ or emotional quotient is something that has been gaining traction, at least in the academic arena, for the last several years. However, it is something that I think intuitively people have noticed and understand or have understood for a very long time, but it's just something that now, the same to be an effective leader, you really need to do both. Now, you have to have IQ, very high IQ, and you also have to have a high EQ in terms of emotional quotient, not just for yourself, but in terms of identifying who's best fit for your organization, as well as when you're dealing with others out in the marketplace. We talked a little bit about customers. We didn't talk too much about other stakeholders, but the truth of the matter is that's something that you have to be effective in, or you should be effective in order to achieve optimal success, not just for yourself, but in any partnership, right? Because any partnership, people use the terminology, but the truth of the matter is the really the most effective ones truly are win-win. You don't ever want to be in a situation where you're capitalizing on something and the other person isn't, or vice versa. You really want to be in a situation where both of you are winning. Both of you are very clear on where you're at in terms of what you want and in terms of what you're getting and what the other person's getting. You know, something that's very open and transparent and something that, you know, can be effective going forward, right? Because if you don't have those things in place, it always tends to, let's just say, pop up. Things pop up, I think, when you don't have those things in place with any good or effective alliance partnership, whether informal or formal. So in terms of breaking down EQ again, okay, we talked about the first step, which is identification, right? So you need to understand and identify, you know, the emotional, let's say, state of another individual, right? Or what their intentions are, or, you know, how they come across with certain things. They always say in life, there's only two people, right? There's people who are for you or who are against you. You know, and that can be at any level, but, you know, there's usually not too much in between or in a sense of any kind of gray area with that. But you have to learn how to deal with both aspects, right? Because you can't just go with just everyone who's for you, even though that definitely makes life easier. You have to look at, okay, who's against you as well, understanding why, and then trying to break that down and then decide what you want to do from there in terms of your strategy or in terms of, you know, how you want to interact or not interact in terms of relationship or organization. Because in life, we always do have a choice, but you want to make sure that, again, it's an optimal situation, not just for yourself, but, again, your organization and everyone else involved. So after you kind of do the identification piece, and the second part of having a high EQ is, again, trying to determine what to do with it. There is a book that I read, and it has, I would say, a horrible title, or very, it can be a very offensive title, even though it's really not meant to be that way. It's called Dealing with People You Can't Stand, and that's not a very Christian thing to say or things like that, but the book is not about, you know, looking at people in a negative way. It's actually a very positive book that was written by two doctors that started off in the medical field and they switched over to the naturopathic field. And what they found is that when people have emotional areas that they haven't dealt with or don't know how to handle, oftentimes that can lead to physical ailments. And so they decided to kind of create the book to kind of go through certain behaviors and certain situations and how to break those down, as well as how to effectively deal with them for your own peace as well as their peace, and really to the betterment of both groups. So it's a title that people can take many different ways, but it's definitely not a bad book. Again, it's a book that actually promotes that type of peace and reconciliation going forward. But it's an excellent one, and it uses examples, a lot of business examples, as well as those in personal relationships. But when you break all of those down, a lot of it comes through intention. And it also comes through, you know, whether the intention is satisfied, whether or not it's thwarted. And then it also comes through effective communication. And a lot of times people say they communicate, but again, you know, you can communicate and be in two different pages, or you can communicate and be on the same page. You know, again, with everything that we go through in life, especially in business, communication is so absolutely critical. Because if you don't have effective communication, it's something that can, let's say, take time, it can waste time and actually affect your productivity in your organization. It's something that can lead to good things if the communication is very good and you and all of your employees and all your partners are on the same page, and it's something that can, again, be very disruptive if it's not. Okay, we all know that many organizations, large and small, that is one of their biggest challenges. You can have an organization with just three people, and, you know, the fact that someone doesn't know what someone else is doing and there's miscommunication is something, I mean, we've all experienced on a basic level. But, you know, when you go through certain hard items, let's say, like knowing your numbers and understanding how to optimize and things of that nature, you really cannot miss these other aspects. Like I said, the emotional aspect and specifically the communication aspect. So understanding how to effectively communicate, how to effectively listen, how to effectively make decisions, and then keep that kind of line or hard line, let's just say, in place are some of the critical things that are very important to your organization. In addition, understanding that on the other end as well, like if we talked about stakeholders and saying that, you know, there are different types of personalities with different stakeholders as well, regardless of whichever one you decide to choose. Again, whether that is a bank, which most have, even if you don't take out a loan, you should have a very good relationship with the bank that you choose and the relationship manager or the branch manager, depending on the size of the bank that you're actually dealing with. And you want to make sure that you guys are like-minded, not just in terms of their service and offerings, but in terms of, you know, them being able to anticipate your needs and you doing the same thing as well with others. So being able to do those things is something that's very, very critical and something that I would say is, you know, going to be effective to your organization. Because think about it on the opposite end. If you don't have this ability and you're the type of leader that, let's just say, doesn't know what's going on an emotional level, that's the type of leader, unfortunately, gets very blindsided, where issues are coming up, where employees leave or contracts go, and you don't know what's going on because you maybe have been so focused on just the hard numbers in and of itself. And again, while that's something you definitely don't want to ignore, this is an area that you really have to pay attention to. Again, very, very critical to any business success. In addition to that, even as an employee, and again, this show is focused on business owners and managers and executives, the leaders who have to make decisions and have these type of questions. But even if it's yourself, if you're an employee or you're a person on a different end of a partnership, let's say you're the minority partner in something, you know, you want to take a look at that as well. You want to make sure that, you know, you have your EQ in check as well, because your whole purpose is to serve. Everyone at the end of the day should have a servant type of mentality, regardless of what you're doing, whether you're a servant leader or whether, let's just say, you're a servant supporter and you're a leader in whatever it is that you're doing. And being able to break these things down and not ignore them, not act like they're not the keys, you know, not kind of hide those things is very critical. So, you know, I think our time is up for the show, which went very quickly today. Again, for those who didn't get a chance to call in, you can email me at askmichelle@1180wfyl.com or call at 610-539-8255. That's 610-539-TALK or 877-667-1180. And this was Accelerating Your Business. Thank you so much for listening in, and we look forward to those who are able to call in next week.
Hi, I'm Rebecca Costa, host of The Costa Report, inviting you to tune in every Sunday at 4 p.m. right here on 1180 AM WFYL, working for your liberty.
First Thursday of each month from 6 to 8 p.m. is Thrifty Thursdays at Homeworks Premium Thrift, and it's the place to be. Please come join us. Browse our 12,000 square foot store for gently used items of all kinds: apparel, household items, books, furniture, and appliances. We offer free pickup for large loads, appliances, and furniture. Have a question about life or need prayer? Ask us. We'll be glad to talk or pray with you. We are located in Douglasville on Route 422, and we are open until 8 p.m. every first Thursday. Visit us at homeworkspremiumthrift.org and on Facebook. Looking forward to seeing you.
Broadcasting live from historic West Norriton Township, this is AM 1180. AM 1180. WFYL, King of Prussia, Philadelphia.
News Radio. I'm Dave Anthony.
We had three different tornadoes come through.
And then a firefighter in Bridge Creek, Oklahoma says in came another one.
I had resources scattered everywhere. I had no communication.
As they now at first light assess all the storm damage there and in several other states, Fox News Radio's Tanya J. Powers has more live.
Dave, more than 20 people were hurt, five critically, when one of the twisters plowed through an RV park in Oklahoma City, which seemed to be the area hardest hit. Flash flooding was reported, up to 8 inches of rain dumped in that area. Some scary moments in Moore, Oklahoma, when a tornado emergency was declared there. That's where 24 were killed in a storm 2 years ago. Parts of rural Texas also saw storms. In Nebraska, more than a dozen homes were damaged near the Kansas line, and at least 9 tornadoes reported in Kansas, too, Dave.
Tanya, it's free. The cargo ship Iran, seized more than a week ago, has been released, and the crew of the Maersk Tigris is in good condition. The Senate could today vote to limit debate on a bill that would give lawmakers a final say on any U.S. nuclear deal with Iran. Fox News Radio's Rachel Sutherland, live in Washington.
Under the legislation, President Obama would not be allowed to lift congressional sanctions against Iran for at least 30 days while lawmakers weigh in on the deal. They've been arguing over so-called poison pill amendments. One would require Iran to recognize the state of Israel. Another would require the president to certify that Iran is not engaging in acts of terror against America. If the Senate ends debate, the bill would move forward without the amendments. Dave.
Rachel, Secretary of State Kerry is in Saudi Arabia.
I know we have to come work to do the work.
Meeting there with Yemen's president, who fled the country as the Houthi rebels overran parts of Yemen. He's hoping to bring about a humanitarian pause in Yemen's civil war to allow aid workers in delivering food and fuel and medicine to civilians. Today ends the 13-day mourning period for those killed in Nepal's massive earthquake. 7,700 people died. This is Fox News Radio. Fair and balanced.
I'm Jay Farner with some great news on how you could save an average of $3,000 per year on your mortgage. Call Quicken Loans now at 800-QUICKEN to see if you qualify for the government's Home Affordable Refinance Program, or HARP. The HARP guidelines have changed. There's less paperwork and often no appraisal required. Call 800-QUICKEN. That's 800-QUICKEN, or visit quickenloans.com.
Important terms and conditions apply. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
When the work you love involves actual hard work, you need a John Deere Gator utility vehicle. The powerful Gator XUV825i has a 1,400-pound payload and seating that accommodates up to four people, so you can get whatever and whoever anywhere they need to go. Visit your John Deere dealer today. Live for what you do. Go Gator.
You can find Atlantic Tractor on the web at atjd.net or at myjohndeeredealer.com. Atlantic Tractor, we live it.
One of our key allies is holding a key election as Prime Minister David Cameron tries to keep his job in Britain. Fox News Radio's Simon Owen live in London.
Dave, the first Thursday in May, every 5 years, the UK votes for a new government. All 650 seats in the House of Commons up for grabs, with everything pointing to a tight race between the two main parties.
It's been good so far, so I want to see the current party return.
He's among voters backing David Cameron's Conservatives, but others...
I'm hoping for a little bit of change.
...go for the left-wing Labour Party and its leader, Ed Miliband. It may be that neither party is able to win a majority of seats. That could mean days or maybe weeks of negotiations with smaller rival parties for their support, Dave.
Simon, a zoo in Japan's thinking about renaming a baby monkey after getting a lot of angry phone calls and emails. The monkey was named Charlotte, the same name given to Britain's newest princess. The monkey was born more than a month ago, and Charlotte was the favorite in a public poll. Was ISIS really in on that attack in Texas? U.S. intelligence still investigating.
The cartoon exhibition where two gunmen, Elton Simpson and Nadir Sufi, were killed was well protected thanks to cooperation between local and federal law enforcers. But White House spokesman Josh Earnest says it shows the importance of tracking the movements and intentions of what they believe in this case to be lone wolf attackers.
Two individuals that don't appear to be part of a broader conspiracy. And identifying those individuals and keeping tabs on them is difficult work.
One of the shooters, Elton Simpson, was already under investigation before Sunday's incident. Earnest says it's still unclear to what extent the Islamic State knew of the attack plan. Gernal Scott, Fox News Radio.
On Wall Street, there could be a little more selling at the opening bell. The Dow dropped 86 points yesterday. Markets have also been falling in trading overseas, between 1% to 2% down in Europe and Asia. I'm Dave Anthony.
Hi, friends. This is Janet Parshall, and you're listening to 1180 AM WFYL, working for your liberty and things that matter, right here in the cradle of liberty area, Valley Forge and Philadelphia.
In 1778, George Washington said in Valley Forge, "If having pleased the almighty ruler of the universe to defend the cause of the United States, and finally to raise up a powerful friend among the princes of the earth, to establish our liberty and dependence upon a lasting foundation, it becomes us to set apart a day of gratefully acknowledging the divine goodness and celebrating the important event which we owe to his divine interposition. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.